says this very simple thing. And I'm not just going to read verse 7 because it just doesn't make sense all by itself. So let's look at what is leading up to it. And we could go back all the way to chapter 1 to really get the sense of what's happening, what Paul is talking about. Well, we're not going to. We're going to start at verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed. And that, you know what it's talking about when it says this earthly tent? I'm not trying to state the obvious, but this stuff is our earthly tent, okay? Our physical being is an earthly tent. It's not the important thing of our life. So many people think this body, this skin, these fingers, these hands, these legs, they think this is the important part of life. This isn't the important part. This is just the tent. The important part of our life, what is really life, is what's inside. It's our soul. It's our spirit. That's what lives forever. This body doesn't keep living. It's the soul inside that's important. That's the thing that we should be feeding. That's the thing that we should be taking care of so much more than this physical being. We've got hospitals. I know we got nurses here and stuff like that, but we've got hospitals all over this nation trying to take care of the physical being of this life, okay? And it's important, I guess, but actually what's important is a spiritual being. That soul that God has created, because that's what's going to last forever. And you could say, you know, we got all these hospitals, but we got all these churches too. But you know what? The hospitals right now are a lot more full than the churches. Amen? We got to get this understanding. This is a tent. This physical part of us is temporary, very, very temporary. Okay? Now we know that the earthly tent we live in is... Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. That's kind of this fight that we're going in right now. That's kind of this dissatisfaction that so many people are feeling in their life right now. It's this idea that we're in this earthly tent, and yet we're grown. We want to be unclothed. We want to be free from this burden of all the stuff of this world, but we don't want to do it. We're groaning because we don't want to be unclothed, but we want to be unclothed. We want to go to that next place, but we don't want to because we're not sure exactly what's going on. So it says, for while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. It's like we want the next step, but we don't want to go through the process of getting there. We just want someone snap our fingers and we'd be in heaven. But that's not how it gets to work. We have to be unclothed. We have to be unclothed with this earthly dwelling to be clothed with that heavenly dwelling. There's a process we have to go through. Remember our word is faith? Does anyone remember that? That's our word, faith, okay? We're getting there, all right? So we want to be unclothed. We want to be in this new dwelling place that God has for us. He says, unclothed, be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that God allows to dwell in us. Okay? That's the deposit of what's to come. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. Verse 7, we live, what's it say? We live by faith and not by what? We live by faith and not by sight. What does it mean to live by faith and not by sight? You see, I think so many of us are living by sight. We're living by what we see and by what we experience. We're making decisions. We're making decisions on by what we're interpreting and what we're experiencing in this world. By what we think is right and what is wrong, by what we see, by what we hear, by what we feel, by what we want, by all these different things. We're living by faith and not by sight. We're living by the things of the world instead of by our trust and belief in what God says we are and who He is. There's a huge difference. Kathy and I got, you don't care if I get in these arguments in front of everyone with you. That's all right. As long as I'm up here, I'm safe. As soon as I go home, then I get in trouble. But as long as I'm here, I'm safe. We got, and some people are going to walk away from this thinking, oh, he's just fine. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to give you a real life example of what's going on here. Because last week, I had the opportunity to go up to Sturgeon Bay, up where with Scott Grimmer, up to his dad's house where he lives at. And I got a chance to go out on a boat salmon fishing out in Lake Michigan. And that was a really cool opportunity for me, okay? And Kathy and I, we were talking about, and then after I got done with the sturgeon fishing, the salmon fishing in Sturgeon Bay, I was going to somehow get from, you don't mind me saying this either, do you? I was going to get from Sturgeon Bay up to Mercer, Wisconsin, to help Steve put on a roof on their cabin up there. And so there was this thing, these two things that I was really feeling called to do, and Kathy is like, I don't think you should do that. Weren't you, right? She was. She's like, I don't think you should do that. And I was like, but I really feel called. And she's like, I'm sure she's thinking, yeah, you feel called to go fishing. I know what she's thinking. I get that. I really do, because I'm kind of that type of guy. I like to go do that stuff. But there was something that was inside of me saying, I want to go do it. I kind of want to go do it. Actually, I do and I don't at the same time, because I just got done fishing before. But I was kind of like, I was feeling called to go do it. And I was trying to explain to her, I think this is something I'm supposed to go do. And she's like, yeah, right. You get to go on your vacation again, is kind of her thought process of what's happening. And I totally get that. I agree with you, okay? I agree with you. By sight, that's what's going on. She was very logical and very looking at all the different angles of things, saying, you know what, you've already gone done this, you've already gone done that. You know, the church, some of the people at the church are going to be upset that you're gone another Sunday and so on and forth. So, and if you were, I'm sorry, too bad. That's just the way it is. But there's sometimes you have to go by faith and not by sight. And you know what? The trip turned out not to be necessarily about fishing. We caught a few fish. It was fun. The fishing part was, honestly, it was, don't tell Scott this. He's not here, is he? The fishing part was kind of boring, to be real honest with you. It was beautiful. We were out on Lake Michigan on this nice boat and everything. But it's not like you're casting and reeling in and setting a hook or anything like that. You basically are sitting on this boat that's going up and down like this, and you're sitting there with all these poles that are out in the water, all these lines that are out in the water, and you're all just standing around looking at each other. I'm sure if the pastor wasn't on board, we'd be drinking beer, doing something like that. But everyone's just kind of standing around watching these poles, and then all of a sudden you're just driving around on the lake on this boat with these poles sticking out of the water, and then everyone's standing there, and finally a fish bites one of the hooks, and then everyone starts to figure out who's going to reel it in. It's like, oh, your turn. No, I'm not going to take it. You take it. And then we're all standing, no, I'm not going to take it. You take it. And finally, someone grabs, because the captain's hanging on the pole, saying, someone grab the pole, like this. And so we grab the pole, and then you go like this. Or actually, it's like this. And you hold, it's not like this. It's just reeling in like this with these great big reels, and you're just bringing this fish onto the boat. And it was a lot of fun. It was cool, but it wasn't like, it wasn't like real fishing to me, you know what I'm saying? And so I remember we did that at 4 o'clock in the morning, took off at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I remember that was the first thing we did on our trip, and I thought, surely this isn't why I came. Maybe Kathy was right, I'm way off, but the whole rest of the trip was God moments, was people. One of the cool things was, living by faith and not by sight, I was trying to figure out how I was going to get from Sturgeon Bay up to Mercer without being real inconvenient, because it's like a five-hour trip between the two places, okay? And for me to get there, Scott was going to have to go 2.5 hours away, and Lisa's going to have to go 2 hours out of her way, and it was just a big mess. It was so weird. We were trying to figure out how I was going to make this transition to the two different places. It's got a plan here. I'm not just telling stories, all right? I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this. So I'm trying to figure out bus routes and how to, you know, maybe get across the bay and all these other things. And finally, Scott and I, we just left. We just went and said, It'll all work out. Not a big deal. First hour on the boat, we're standing there with two other guys we didn't know. Two other guys, we have no idea who they are. And we're fishing along, and one guy goes, yeah, I'm from Wausau, is where he said. And Scott and I both looked at each other like, you gotta be kidding me. Because we knew immediately I had a ride to where I needed to go. God takes care of it. You see, we gotta live by faith. We gotta continue going and doing things and being in places that God puts us to. It's not, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's not the way we think it should be. But if we live by faith and not by sight, by the things of the world, God has incredible blessings. That whole trip, roof, working on the roof included, Lisa, because she's sitting there thinking, oh man, the whole roof thing. It was a blessing because of the people that God placed me in. I got 2.5 hours with this guy I had no idea who was a left-behind Catholic, just done. 2.5 hours to witness to this guy. We got to pray before he left. It was just, it was so cool. I would have missed that. Not blaming my wife. If I would have said, oh yeah, you know what, people have been upset with me and they might fire me if, you know, I'm gone another Sunday. And all this, if I would have thought, if I would have gone with that thought, I would have missed that opportunity and so many others that I had during this past week. It didn't make sense. We live by faith and not by sight. You know, there's a definition. A definition of what faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith is being sure of the things that we hope for and certain of the things that we cannot see. And that is so simple. It's so easy. It's so cut and dry. It seems so simple, but it's a lot more complicated than that. You see, the word faith, and Nathan was looking this up for me, trying to explain it to me because it was exactly opposite of what I thought it was going to be. The word faith in the Greek is no, none of the little kids giggle at me or anything like that, but the word faith is pistis. Is that right? Did I say that right? Close enough. Pistis. All right? See, I knew someone would giggle. I knew someone would immediately. The word faith is pistis. The word believe is pisto, right? Pisteo. I knew I was going to mess it up. Pisteo. So you got pistis and pisteo, okay? Same root word, okay? One is a noun and one is a verb. Which one do you think is the noun? Faith or belief? Which one do you think is the noun? Faith or belief? Faith. Which one do you think is the verb? Faith or belief? No, I said the verb. Yeah. One's a noun and one's a verb. It's exactly opposite of what I thought it was, because I thought faith would be the verb and believe would be the noun, but it's the other way around. Faith is the noun and believe is the verb. But that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I can believe a lot of things. I can believe all kinds of things. I can believe in God. I can believe in Jesus. I can believe in Santa Claus. I can believe in all kinds of different things. But faith is that belief in action to be. So it always seems like to me that faith should be the action word or be the verb, and belief should be the noun. Let me give you a quick example. There's one that everyone uses, and I'm going to change it. Everyone uses the whole wheelbarrow and tightrope thing about believing in faith. I'm going to change it up because bow season's coming up. You all know I'm a bow hunter, right? You all seen the trophies on my wall? I'm a pretty good shot with my bow. I go to the range and I don't get perfect scores, but I get awfully good scores when I go to the range with my bow. So y'all believe I am a good shot, correct? Oh, come on now. Someone has to believe I'm a good shot. Someone's got to believe I'm a good shot. I mean, I've killed a lot of deer. I've shot a lot of things with my bow and arrow. I'm pretty accurate. So everyone believes, not everyone, some of you believe I'm a good shot with my bow, right? There we go. I've got a volunteer. Excellent. I was just waiting for someone to agree with me, Dave. Thank you. So, Dave, would you be willing to come up and stand against the wall, put an apple on your head, and allow me to shoot that apple off your head with my bow? Probably not. You believe I'm a good shot, but putting faith in that belief is putting it in action. The old illustration is the whole idea with the guy with the wheelbarrow, the guy who goes out with a tight rope. They string a line across Niagara Falls, you know what I'm saying? The guy goes out and he walks across it and everyone claps, wow, that's wonderful. And then the guy comes back and he does it with an umbrella and, oh, that's wonderful. And then he comes back, he gets a wheelbarrow and he pushes the wheelbarrow across the tightrope. Oh, that's wonderful, that's great. And then he puts, you know, a load of bricks in it and pushes it. Everyone, wow, that's amazing. How do you do that? And finally he says, okay, now you believe that I can do this. Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And nobody wants to get in the wheelbarrow. You see, believing something is one thing. Having faith in it and putting it in action is another. And so when it talks about we live by faith, it means that we put our belief, our beliefs, into action. What type of actions? We're going to get into that in the next several weeks. Because faith affects every part of who we are. Every aspect of what we do and how we live every single day. Faith is the one key element that brings completion to our lives. Real completion. He says that's why we're saved by grace. Through what? Through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. The neatest thing about faith to me in this whole thing is that it can increase. It can increase. You can take where you're at right now in your faith, not just in your belief, but in your faith, it can increase. And the reason I say that is because when Jesus was talking to the disciples in Luke chapter 17, I think it is, and he's talking about forgiveness, and he says, let's just look at it real quick. Yeah, very quick. Because this is going to be my kicking off point for next week. Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, this is verse 1, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. So he's warning against sin. And then verse 3, he says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Look what the disciples' response to that was. The apostles respond very quickly. They said to the Lord, increase our faith. You see what it says? Increase our faith. You see, our faith can be increased. And right now, I think our world, I think our church, I think I, and I think you, need to have an increase of faith. An increase, not in belief, but in faith. I think it's essential. In fact, I know it's essential for the things that are coming. I think it's essential that we start taking our eyes off of what's happening, what's going on, making decisions on by what we see and perceive to be real. And start making decisions and basing our actions and start doing things on what God is calling us to rather than reacting to what's going on around us. I think it's going to be getting more and more important to live by faith, not by sight. We need to start practicing now. Right now. So, the first aspect of this faith is your faith in Christ. Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe that He died for your sins? Do you believe that He rose from the dead and is the first fruits of the living? Do you put your faith in Him? And when I say that, I'm not talking about a head knowledge. Are your actions reflecting your belief? If not, it's time they do. Time to put your belief into action through faith. There's no better day to do it than today. To allow your belief in Christ to start moving you into new places, into new adventures, into new opportunities that He's going to start setting before you. Do you believe? Do you have faith that He will do it? That's the bigger question. Let's stand as we have our song of invitation.